Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little bit. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The CW?
Yeah. With like the Flash, Arrow, and Inside the NFL.
I mean, Inside the NFL is a flagship show about football. I mean, dating way back to when there weren't a million shows on a million channels or a million streams or a million podcasts. It was an in-depth highlight show. I mean, it was on a pay channel, HBO, originally. I think it spent some time at Showtime. The CW, I feel like that. Isn't there just like Golden Girls reruns on CW? Like, what is CW? Like, Bill Belichick signs with the CW? Like, what? What is it be on reruns of Maude? Like, what's going on? The CW. I did not have that on my scorecard. Fox, ESPN, The Athletic. I don't know. Like The Ringer. Like somewhere. Right. Go do something with the Mannings on the Manning cast. The CW? What? Buffy the Vampire Slayer on? What? What's going on there? I have no idea what's on the CW. I cannot remember the last time I knowingly watched the channel. I don't even know if it's on my streaming platforms. It probably is, because it's not like a super high-profile thing, I don't think.
I mean, you made a good decision by not really diving into it too much. It's been a lot of low-budget superhero TV shows.
Okay.
It's a lot of what it was.
There you go.
And Inside the NFL now. That's a weird mix. It is a weird mix now.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. I did not see that coming for Belichick. I was not myself that stunned that he didn't get a job as an NFL head coach. We'll see what next offseason brings after he spends this coming season in part as an analyst on the panel on Inside the NFL. On the CW. All right, well, it's a bit of an oddity, I would say. Anyway, good afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike has the day off today and tomorrow as well. A lot of football content for you here, not entirely about Bill Belichick and the CW network, whatever really that represents at this point. We'll have a couple of guests today. Connor Rogers, our buddy from New York City, on the Jets. Squeeze in some on the Mets and the Rangers, too. He's a well-rounded dude, Connor. Anyway, he's at 4. Matt Perino, our buddy from the Shout Podcast, at 5. That's your guest list. I tweeted out a couple of hours ago now a question to the audience. I'll pose it to you now that we're actually live on the radio, and you can call me at 803-0550 with an answer here and a conversation starter today for me. The idea I had was to talk about Brandon Ayuk, because to me it's still not too late to consider that he could get traded. I just looked it up just out of curiosity. My recollection was correct. For some reason, there are certain dates you just remember what happened on a certain date, something significant. And in my head, I was thinking as I was crafting this social media post here on the Twitter.com machine about Brandon Ayuk. Like, I wonder how much pushback I'll get on, it's already July, we're in the dead period, and, teams have got, their teams are on the floor, so to speak. Sammy Watkins got traded on August 11th. I don't know why I know that it was August 11th, but I remember it being August 11th. Maybe it's because it was a day that Mike wasn't here, much like today, but that date stands out in my head. Like when I thought, when did Watkins got traded pretty late? And I, in my brain went August 11th. And then I Googled and it was August 11th. That was at the time a pretty high profile wide receiver on the Bills. New regime here. I mean, different circumstances here. I don't think there was even really a contract dispute or anything going on. It just simply was, I think, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. Bean's here by then. He came after the draft, so he's in the saddle as the GM of the team when this trade gets made. And I think the Bills, really, that new hierarchy coming in, just did not like something about how Watkins handled his business, whether he was not serious enough off the field about taking care of himself. Remember Tyrod Taylor, like, intimating that, like, he really has kicked it up a notch, which was a little alarming. I think that was that same summer. For whatever reason, the Bills saw fit to move him along, and they did. So that was August. The Rams took that on, and the Bills made that trade. They made a second trade subsequently to acquire another receiver and traded Ronald Darby to the Eagles. It was sort of a, you know, new regime, plant a flag. You know, we're not gonna live like we've been living in the past. This is a new day. So that's a long way to go to just tell you, I think this trade of Ayuk is still very much a possibility. I don't know that the Bills will be in on it or not. That's the subject. That's the question. Given the state of things here with the wide receiver core, there is one man on this team who has caught a pass from Josh Allen in a game, and that is Khalil Shakir. That's it. We know the state of the thing here, right? They're starting over at receiver. But if you dial it all the way back to the Diggs trade being made, I know I had a very, very strong opinion at the time that a trade, like a trade for Brandon Ayuk, would be coming. I just did not foresee a scenario where the Bills would choose to part ways with Stephon Diggs, incur the $31 million in dead money, and not have a corresponding, here's our new stud walking in the door. Whether that would be in free agency or trade, seem more likely a trade because of Ayuk or T. Higgins or any other guy that you might be able to think of that could have been in a similar type position, right? I want a new contract. I warrant top of the market. Does my team want to give it to me? No. Okay, get me out of here. And that's pretty much what's been going on with Ayuk all through the spring and now into the summer. So, like, I don't know, right? Let's dismiss, they'll keep him. They might. San Francisco. They could. Mike and I talked about this earlier in the week already. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. They could call his, I don't know if it's even calling a bluff at this point. I mean, he's making a lot of noise. And camp is coming up in a couple of weeks, and I guess then maybe is when it will start to get interesting. Like, does he come in? Does he come in and hold in, right? Like, show up but not participate? Does he flat out hold out? Like, how much pressure will the 49ers feel to do something about it? If they think they can get him in for one more year on the fifth-year option, which is what he is staring at, which is why he wants a new contract, it's $14 million. He probably on a new deal would double that or more. I mean, I think he's a $30 million top of the market type receiver, Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers. So I think it's very unlikely at this point that they find their way to paying him what he wants. They could, but they've got a lot of other stuff going on there and already a very high-priced tight end and a very high-priced wide receiver in Deebo Samuel. So it makes sense. Like, this is where, like, you know, a lot of things come together to end up at, like, you know, well, why would a team trade such a good young player? Well, that's why. Money, really, is why. So I want to just set what the 49ers are going to do over on the side, because we don't really know. They may end up not trading him at all, but to me, the time of the year we're at should not be a reason to say that's not going to happen. Again, Watkins got traded on August the 11th by the Bills to the Rams. So, and then there's other examples of that too throughout the years, but that's one that obviously hits very close to home that we all remember. So, you know, will the 49ers move him, try to get an asset? Because eventually they're going to part ways. I think that's obvious. Again, unless cooler heads and he takes a less than market rate contract from them to stay there and they just work it out. They could just keep going with him for this year if he's agreeable to that, like if he's going to show up. That's where calling bluffs come in. So whatever they're going to ultimately do with him, of course, it's germane to the conversation, but I don't want to assume that they won't trade him. I got a ton of response on Twitter.com. I'm just going to keep calling it Twitter.com from now on. Like, Mike has his fun. I call it. I don't think I've ever referred to it as X one time in my life. The website, the browser name still says Twitter.com on my browser. That's good enough for me. So a lot of feedback here. Some of it is, why would they trade him? Well, that's why they would trade him. They might like to get something back for a very good player, a very good asset for them, and keep moving forward. You know, it's not an easy call. They are in a Super Bowl window. That's why there is some merit to just keeping him and just playing out the year and then letting him go for nothing. Of course, they could franchise him too. But anyway, the point is, if they're going to trade him, how badly would you want the Bills to be in on it? The tweet I put out that got such a response, I mean, a lot of no, a lot of hell no's, you know, just I think there's a certain amount of, oh, there's a disenchanted receiver of maybe available. Oh, I don't need that headache. I just went through what I went through with Diggs. There's a half a dozen or more of responses that are like that. Didn't we learn a lesson from Diggs? You know what lesson I learned from Diggs? Is that the Bills' offense, for a time when he first got here, almost looked borderline unstoppable. They were great. They were great. They stepped up from being, oh, look at Josh Allen. He's pretty good. They made the playoffs. Oh, they lost in Houston. Too bad. To becoming a Super Bowl contender when Diggs arrived. The lesson I learned from Diggs is not to overreact to a guy who's unhappy in his current situation and will be then happy at least for a while. I know it ended badly with Diggs, but am I to believe that fans who are saying no because of the way it ended with Diggs means you wouldn't do that again? You wouldn't take the last 4 years, even with all the drama that there was for the last, I don't know, season plus last offseason? I mean, it worked great. It worked great. So I don't get that at all. Didn't you learn a lesson from Diggs as a response to, would you trade for Brandon Ayuk? Like, if you don't want to, you don't want to pay the draft capital that it might cost to get him. Okay. Like, I'm listening. It's probably going to cost a lot. I mean, I asked in the Twitter.com posit to, you know, it's a first round pick. I don't know that it has to be that. I'm just thinking about the Diggs trade from 5 years ago, and when they made that trade, like a player in his prime. You know, don't think about Diggs getting traded this offseason by the Bills. Think about him getting traded 5 years earlier. Because you're talking about a player in his prime. You're not talking about a guy getting close to the 30-year-old cliff. You're talking about prime years. Ayuk is 4 years into his career right now in the NFL. You've got maybe the best years he'll have coming up. I think that's reasonable to state. So I don't really get any kind of pushback on, we just, you know, didn't we learn a lesson from the Diggs episode? Yeah, I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson that Josh Allen became a monster RoboCop rock star quarterback in the NFL when Diggs landed at the airport. That's what I learned from that. So, you know, I think there's a case to be made to go try and do that again. And get a guy at that timeline in his career, really still, I think you could consider him still an ascending player, Ayuk. So I have no problem biting off a trade for a guy who's unhappy where he is right now because of money and bringing him here. That's basically Diggs. I mean, Diggs, for as much as he, I think, took on the reputation of some, you know, I don't know, a diva, I guess, because of the way the last year and a half played out here. And I know there was like a cryptic tweet when he was still in Minnesota. And I think that Brandon Bean even said like that got him to pick up the phone and call the Vikings. He goes like, hey, you got a thing with that? You got to do something here, because I'm here for that. I don't feel like what Diggs did publicly was anywhere even close to what Ayuk has been up to here on social media this offseason. I mean, he's like on a campaign, it seems like. So, you know, you could take that as being like he could be more of a problem than even Diggs was at the end. I mean, to me, there's no knowing that for sure. I think mostly the guy's making noise because he wants to get paid. And that's the NFL, man. It happens all the time. So I'm not deterred from a Brandon Ayuk idea because he's unhappy where he is. I think you put enough zeros on the end of everything, and that just goes away. You know, now at some point in the future, could you have problems? Sure, maybe, but you do that. You do that dance all day long with NFL players, especially wide receivers. I would say they have a certain rep for, you know, that kind of behavior. So there's nothing to me that's a deterrent for what's currently going on, how the player has performed, how he's handling his business. He is noisy here. He looks unhappy. That doesn't scare me. The price could scare you. First round pick, I don't know, maybe it could even be a second. I don't know what San Francisco could actually get if they make the move on this player. But him as a player, as a producer, and even as a dude who right now is currently unhappy, nothing deters me. I love this player. I think he'd be a fantastic addition to the team. The price and the contract are where I think you sort of can get into the weeds and wonder, like, is this a smart idea? Is this a good idea? And what I end up doing is I'm admittedly, this isn't good for me, I think, on a day where I'm working alone. I'm a little torn, or maybe a lot torn, because I love Ayuk. I love this idea. The minute Diggs was traded, I think I was on the air that day by myself, or maybe with Nate Geary, I think, and like, Brandon Ayuk, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. And obviously it hasn't materialized to this point, but I love this idea. But here we are now, right? July 11th. Training camps in a couple of weeks. And as much as I worry about, we had a call late in last night's show about, spreading the ball around. And there's a lot of this. Doug Farrar was on One Bills Live and wrote a long piece this week about the value of having sort of a by-committee approach at receiver as opposed to a number one kingpin alpha dog dude out there that is going to draw attention both from your quarterback and your passing game and from opposing defenses. And that, you know, you can keep teams more off balance if, you know, you're not feeding one guy and they can't really focus on one guy. But a lot of that to me sounds like rationalization. So I'm worried about it. I don't think I'm as worried about it as Mike is, because within that worry, I have a ton of curiosity. I kind of want to see if they can put it together, if they can make it work, if Josh Allen and Joe Brady can make this offense hum with the receivers that they've got here currently, with this by-committee approach. This is not like betting on right now a monster year from rookie Keon Coleman or Curtis Samuel suddenly turning into a player that catches 110 passes, something he's been very far from his entire career. Nice player. He's never been that guy. The Bills do not have that guy. That's the point. And I think while Josh Allen is smack dab in the middle of his prime, and as much as I do not want to just sort of shovel a season of that into a landfill, like, let's just kind of screw around and see what we can do, I'm very curious to see if it can work. Like, I think it makes sense for the Bills to figure out if their offense absolutely needs the $30 million receiver. It might turn out that they find out by even the trade deadline that they do, and maybe they have to act on it then, or maybe we just tough it out and grind through the year, and then they address it next offseason because they realize, like, wow, okay, well, that was a miss. It's a bad job by us. Tough one. Mac Hollins really was not a good Stephon Diggs replacement. Sorry, I'm being a little cute there. I don't think they're billing Mac Hollins as a Steph Diggs replacement. So I apologize for the cuteness of that. But I'm very interested to see if it works, because I think the future of the franchise, the future of Josh Allen's career, it could be very, I mean, you could end up in a spot where you just sort of realize, hey, I can get a few $7 or $8 million guys and make this work because my quarterback is such a monster. The tough part about that is that we just watched the Chiefs go through this last year. And Mahomes didn't like crater or anything, but he only threw for like 4,100 yards last year. The Chiefs passing game was a problem most of the year. They just did not have talent at receiver. And, you know, guy to guy, I mean, I don't know, well, there's Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney and MBS, who's here now, versus Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir, whatever, like, stack them up. They had a bad-looking receiver core on paper last year, the Chiefs, and the season kind of played out like that. You know, they were not strong at that position. The Bills on paper going into this year look about like that, without Travis Kelce on the team. Now, you can hope that Kincaid will emerge and become maybe their leading receiver. I started to say some version of Travis Kelce, but that just seems a little lofty. But really breaks through, and like he becomes the thing that makes it, you know, not as challenging to not have that stud guy. So I'm torn because the curiosity and the benefit of doing it the way the Bills appear to be trying to do it this year should be obvious. You have more money and more resources to deploy elsewhere on your roster, and if you can get by without spending $30 million plus on a single pass catcher, you know, why wouldn't you want to do that? I shouldn't say just get by. If you can flourish, because we need flourishing is what we need, right? We're talking about a Super Bowl window here with this quarterback. So just getting by is probably not enough. If you think you can flourish, the only way you're going to find out is to go do it, right? So I'm tempted to see that through at this juncture of the offseason, because no move has been made yet. But at the same time, I got to admit, if I'm sitting here in this chair today or tomorrow or early in August and Brandon Ayuk gets traded to, I don't know, the Pittsburgh Steelers for next year's first-round pick or a second-round pick, and that comes with a four-year, $120 million contract, I'm going to feel like I probably missed the boat. So what do you want to do about it? Like, if Ayuk is going to be moved, if it happens, speculative, I know, but hey, I mean, it's sports talk radio and it's the summer, let's have some fun. If he's going to get moved, you want in? Or do you want to see the by committee, they're not going to know who the guy is because we don't really have a guy approach that is, you know, it's been talked about a lot, I feel like, this week. Like, what do you prefer here? Go big and spend big draft asset, big money to replace Diggs with Brandon Ayuk, or just, you know, see if you can figure it out with the pieces you've got in place here right now. 803-0550 is the number. Lots of time for your calls today, as it's just me hanging out with Zach, as Mike has the day off today. 803-0550. Connor Rogers at 4 o'clock on the Jets and the AFC East, and then at 5 o'clock, Matt Parrino, Shout Podcast on the Bills. But lots of time between now and then, and really all afternoon long for your calls. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.